Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to the Lazy CEO podcast. I'm Jane Liu. Join my conversations with the entrepreneurs behind the iconic brands we all know and love.
Hey, Potty fam. So excited about my next guest, founder of Cub, Daniel Hakim. Cub, which stands for Club of United Businesses, is Australia's fastest growing members club for business owners. Cub started in 2015 with only 5 founding members, one of them being yours truly, and now services over 2,000 Australian entrepreneurs with clubhouses in Sydney, Melbourne, and also with Brisbane opening soon. And more recently, Daniel has also expanded into the online community space with an online app called Boa. In this episode, we talk about how to build a really engaging community, what he does to close B2B sales, and more importantly, to retain those customers, and about the ever-changing Australian entrepreneurial landscape. All right, let's get into it. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you for having me.
We've known each other for a long time and the tables have turned because I was on your podcast.
Do you know how long we've known each other for?
Yeah.
9 years now.
Jesus, are we that old?
Yeah, well, that's how old Cub is.
Oh my God. When do we get old? 10-year birthday celebration for Cub.
Next year, we're going to throw a huge like ball type of thing. And it's going to be awesome. We're already planning it now.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's a members club that connects accomplished entrepreneurs and business owners. So it's kind of like the new generation of like the old stuffy men's only clubs in that we represent the modern face of Australian business. And we've got a heavy focus on like a very premium and tailored networking service. So we ensure people like you and me and many other business owners are able to build valuable relationships with others in the same position to relate to give advice to. I believe having a strong network is the most important thing you can do. And Cub just makes it easy for accomplished entrepreneurs, business owners to do that.
Absolutely. Good elevator pitch.
9 years of practice.
Yeah, exactly. And I was one of the 5 founding members, a true OG. And definitely, I am an advocate for surrounding yourself with like-minded people. Let's wind back to like where everything started. Like, what did you study? What did you want to be when you grew up?
No, I always wanted to be in business. My family was in business. And I was really bad at school. I hated it. Like there wasn't a day of school I liked. And I did high school in Paris a bit and I did a bit of uni in Paris and I dropped out of uni. I came back to Sydney. I went to Macquarie for a day and then never went back again.
You went to uni for a day?
Macquarie University, one day. I actually still remember that day and I have a very bad memory, but I did not like it.
What did you enroll in?
I honestly couldn't even tell you. It would have had to been something to do with business because I always wanted to do business. I wasn't good at the like focusing thing, without a doubt, would have ADD or
colouring in within the lines.
Yeah, I was never liked it. I never liked it. I wasn't good at it. I knew I wanted to do business. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? I'd rather just work. And that's what I did. I'd lived in Paris for summer high school and I went to an international school there, which was mostly kids from like families of business and politics, but mostly business. And then I did a university and again in Paris and a lot of time in London. And there were a lot of members clubs there. So like you can go to a lot of members clubs overseas that are very different to Cub, but there are places you can go, you can meet people, you can grow your network. They're interesting people that typically you've got something in common with. And when I came back to Australia, I looked for one of these because I didn't really know that many people anymore. I had been away for so long. And the only things I could find were kind of the more traditional, like kind of old stuffy clubs or very like, I don't know, kind of informal type groups and things. Mm. And I just thought, you know what? Like, I really want this. Like, I really want a club for all entrepreneurs to come together, to help each other, to make friends with other people who share, like, you know, my passion in business. And so that's what gave me the idea for Cub. I actually started a restaurant before Cub. I don't know why I did that.
You?
I never, yeah. It was called Bastille Dining. Oh. It was in Des Moines, but that didn't last very long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's about a six-month venture.
Oh, my God. Were you a dish pig or were you at the front just being like, come into my restaurant?
No. I cleaned the dishes. Yeah. I couldn't cook, so I'd clean. Like, I built it myself. I screwed it up. It didn't work.
No, tell me. I want to hear about this. How did you this failed?
Well, it was called Bastille Dining. And like, yeah, I still today,
nice. I think it's
yeah, it's
good.
Like a French. Yeah, I didn't even know what Bastille was at the time. It was a, French like word. And the concept for it was still pretty good. Like, it was like a city experience, but with like a local convenience in the sense, like it was in Des Moines. So it was like local to like Des Moines, like Balmain, Hunters Hill, Lancove. Like, you didn't have to go too far to have a really like a nice date night if you were a married couple or something like that. And that did really well. Like, it actually started. Like, I wasn't making money, but like there were people in there.
You had some momentum.
Yeah, it felt like a real business.
Yeah.
And then I got all cocky and I fully changed the staff in the kitchen. I changed the concept. Like, I just thought.
You were Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah, and it just went shoo. Oh. And then I just ran out of money. And I was like, oh, okay, see ya. And it didn't really matter because I was on a month-to-month lease. Like, I didn't really lose much. By that point, I had really started the wheels with Cub. Like, I was already thinking about Cub at that point. So the concept of Cub was originally for young entrepreneurs to get together and just make friends and help each other grow our businesses. That's how it started. But as Cub grew, I never really had a plan for it. But as it grew, business is kind of like a river. Like, you just kind of follow the water and then eventually you get to where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. But you know, from the outside, and you probably think the same about ShowPro, like, what you've done seems so strategic. But like,
it wasn't. The key is really the fact that there's always a way to succeed. Like, there's always a way to make a business work. And like, very rarely, if ever, is anyone starting a business and being like, this is going to be the business and this is how it's going to work and it's going to be successful that way. My full-time job is talking to business people every day, all day. And I don't think I've found one ever that is the case. Like, business evolves and successful business people understand that and are able to listen to their customers or clients and understand what's working for them in the business and adjust to that. So
yeah,
like,
exactly. Nothing stays the same in business. So even if you have success one minute, you got to keep changing and pivoting. And that's the thing. It's like, I feel like, as you said, it's all about not giving up and trying and just keep going, because so much of it is like, it's timing and it's like, how good the idea is, how good you are executing. But ultimately, it's just about not giving up.
There's always a way. That's like kind of how I think about it. Like, it doesn't matter what the problem is. Like, there is a way to solve it. Like, someone, this problem has happened to someone before and they solved it. And therefore, am I not as good as that person? Mm-hmm. Like, can I not solve it? Like, that's always how I feel. Like, I definitely can. That's how I feel. Like with Cup, for example, the concept was for young entrepreneurs to be like a counter to the old established clubs.
Yeah.
But what actually ended up happening, Cub's brand wasn't actually like a premium brand at the start. But what happened was the young entrepreneurs had a lot of like kind of startup hubs and co-working spaces and like meetups. And like, there were a lot of free and available ways to connect with other early stage businesses, which a lot of were young. The top of the business food chain, like the super large businesses, they already have networks. In fact, they don't want to meet you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the people that were coming to Cub were like the next generation of those big businesses. They were the businesses that had broken through the, you know, that first million, 2 million in revenue. And all of a sudden they got there and they were like, oh shit, when I first started, there are hundreds of others in my position.
Yeah.
And now there's very few. And it's like, and now I'm time poor and I don't know where to meet them. And I don't really like networking because networking has a bad kind of, you know, I don't want to walk in a room and just say hi to like 100 people. So those are the people that started coming to Cub. And
then you're also like,
they were older.
Becoming more and more different from, you. Like, you can't talk about these things with your friends as well. Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to stress out your family. About your problems, and you don't want to sound like a dickhead to your friends, like you're always complaining about having a business. And so people were looking for that third community, that like, I want my business owners kind of community and real friendships, like with people, like what you've done with like-minded bitches drinking wine. Like, that's a huge facilitator of connection amongst entrepreneurial people. That's fantastic. That is just so important. So we do that, essentially the same concept except tailored to business owners at a certain stage of business who want it almost done for them.
Yeah.
Like they want us to vet the people they're meeting. They want us to introduce them to the right people. They want to be in a nice premium setting. They don't want to walk around a room. So we shaped to that.
And so what was the hardest thing about getting it all up and running? Because I guess it's like there are the groups like Like-Minded Bitches out there, like you said, which is just purely online. And then there's, you know, you're saying there's the little startup hubs. There are like $0 free things out there. Mm. Did you find like in the early days, because now Cub is validated. Like I feel like people go, it's proven. The room is
we
also,
have a big brain.
The room's full of people. You know, that's where it's different.
Yeah, and we can reference thousands of people.
How did you get people in the first place?
Well, launching a club's actually pretty easy. You just need to get some great founding members. Like what I did.
You're welcome.
Was, yeah. Well, thank you. Like, yeah. And you've done so much to help me throughout Cub's whole life. Like, I mean, you've always been there. And that's a real testament to having real friendships with
other people. This is why you didn't get angry at me for trashing it for the game.
For your party. Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I couldn't get angry.
Actually trashed it so bad once.
Well, I couldn't get angry with you because I owe you for a lot of things you've done for me. And I was so happy to be able to even provide like the space or that event for you. So like, couldn't care less. But I mean, what we're describing now is really important because it's the difference between what real like networking is as to what people think it is. Because networking shouldn't be networking. Networking is actually friend building. Like you want to build real relationships with people who actually like you and care, who you actually like and respect and care for. And when you have enough of those real relationships of people that share your passion and ambition in business, you're just so much stronger. Like I'm stronger having your friendship and vice versa. And I'm stronger having the people around me that I have. And, yeah, but that's really what people should do. And so there are free versions, like there are lots of free communities, but who came to us were the accomplished entrepreneurs. And those people wanted a premium service and premium service also, costs money.
It brings in a certain type of like people because you don't want to, you know, it, I guess this is why people
it's like
a business. It feels like a business class lounge.
Well, I hope it feels nicer.
Oh, yeah.
We're a premium brand. So our branding's premium. Our club's on top of Louis Vuitton. And it looks beautiful because business people are special. I'm obsessed with business people. I love entrepreneurs. I really do. I love business. And it came time for me to choose what business I wanted to do. I didn't choose the type of business. I chose who I wanted to serve. And I just always idolized entrepreneurs, business people. And so that's who I wanted to serve. And so when they walk into the club, like I already think they're so special. Yeah, you know, they've accomplished so much and they contribute so much to their teams and to their clients and to society and like even just taxes and all the amazing benefits business has on community. When they walk into the clubhouse, I want them to feel really special. Like everything's beautiful. The furniture is beautiful. We have a beautiful view. When you walk in, we've got a big team. All of them greet you and make you
know, everyone's so great. Friendly.
There's normally members you already know that are there who are, you know, might be waiting for an event to start or might be meeting a client and you say hi to them. Like I used to tell the team, when they walk in, it should feel like you've just walked into your grandparents' house and they're just so excited to see you. Like they want to feed you and things like that. That's the feeling that we want to give them. Maybe like a bit more luxurious than going to your grandparents' house, but that feeling of love and like appreciation, because that's what Cub is and that's what the brand is about. It's about love and appreciation. And I just think when you've got a brand, like your brand should embody something. Like Shopo is probably one of the best examples of a brand that embodies something. And Cub embodies like a love and appreciation for business and a celebration of the contributions that people like you create for Australia or for, you know, your brand's global. So for everywhere.
Thank you. That's so nice. Well, so I heard this quote, which I love, and I think it just applies for Cub so much. Get in rooms where your dreams are other people's realities. And I think that is
essential.
Yeah. And also when things are beautiful, it's like, you know, I used to say like, don't think entrepreneurship, starting a business is going to a cafe and just writing down like, that's so romanticized. But I also do think actually being physically somewhere like that is aspirational, taking yourself into that environment, but it does like inspire you to like think big, you know?
Yeah, well, it's not about where you are. Like when you're starting, you're nowhere. It's about who you talk to, like who you're friends with. If you have the opportunity to meet someone that you idolize or that's further along than you, you've got the opportunity to show that person that you're just like them, that you're one of them, that you want to work hard, you want to do really well in life, and that you're actually doing something about it. Whether you meet someone like that at Cub, I mean, you can meet them anywhere. You could even just be introduced to them or message them on LinkedIn or on BOA, our new digital platform, which everyone should be on. But Like when I met Mark Burris, who ended up investing in a Cub, he's the only investor that Cub ever had. And to be honest, it wasn't for financial reasons, because Cub started doing really well quite quickly. It was for like alignment reasons. Like I wanted to show Australia that, like, you know, we're not just a baby company. Mark's looked at the company naked, in the sense, like, he's seen the insides, he's seen the numbers, he's seen us handle COVID and what we've done.
That's incredible what you've done with, you actually pivoted into something so amazing during COVID. For Cub to be like a physical, it's kind of like, it has such a physical presence.
Yeah, we're literally in-person networking Cub.
So what happened? Were you shitting yourself?
Yeah, we were shitting ourselves. Like, I feel like I actually kick in a gear when things are wrong. And when things aren't wrong, I'm almost cruising. So like I got all pumped up and like motivated, and I spoke to the leadership team. We just looked at what was happening. And I always had suspicions when I started Cub that Cub would be a good business to have in like a recession, because when things are going wrong is when you need community. You know, when things are going great, like you don't need help that much. But when things are a problem, you really need to come together and help each other. And there's a lot of benefits of being in a community, like easier, cheaper services, new clients, knowledge and insight into how to handle things.
I remember when COVID hit, we spoke to we were like, we want to check on like supply chain. I've never spoken to so many people I've never met before, like on crack, just like supply chain, HR issues, like everything, like leasing issues, just like being like calling friends, being like, do you know someone who does this? And just like,
So our issue was more so like, well, they're going to need our service more than ever is what I anticipated. But how are we going to actually deliver them the service? Because they literally can't meet each other. The easiest thing that we did was we kept exactly the same like systems and processes that we're doing, everything the same, from sales to servicing, everything was exactly the same. The only thing we changed was we did everything on Zoom, literally. All the networking was on Zoom. Their forum groups were on Zoom. We framed all of our events, topics and content and all this type of stuff on topics that were relevant to them. For example, like JobKeeper was a big one back then, and getting the government grants was a big one, and the $250,000 the government was loaning was a big one. And so we literally just did everything we normally do, but we did it digitally and we did it from home, which was fantastic because then the team didn't need to learn anything new. They were just doing what they already knew, but they were doing it from home. We ramped up our team communication. During the depths of COVID at the very start, we were doing two meetings a day, morning and evening. We were literally in constant communication, the team, getting together regularly. If people are concerned or they think the business isn't doing well, they start getting concerned for their job. And if they get concerned for their job, they might start, you know, losing focus on it and looking what else they can do. And I wanted the team to know that not only are we still a team, we're still talking to each other several times a day, but we're doing well. So every time we're on, how did we go with bookings, sale bookings? How do we go with sales so far? How are we with events? How many members have we engaged today? What, like, relationship manager? And everyone was just saying the things that were going really well. So everyone, for us, we had a really positive like sentiment within the team. Within 3 months, we were back selling exactly our revenues returned to, or at least we were selling exactly the same amount of memberships as we were in person, but we were doing it digitally.
Wow.
Yeah, it was actually,
that's
COVID
incredible.
Was really when Cub, in my opinion, really took off.
Really?
Like maybe 2019 was when it really took off.
That's incredible. Yeah,
I always call 2019 Cub's first year. That was the first year we started. Like, I felt like, wow, this is a real business.
You became a business?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I felt like it was always...
Nah. Before that, we didn't even know what we were doing. For the first year, we didn't even have a membership list.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even say that. but it's true. Like, so at the start of your business, you really don't need to know... Like, you don't need to have everything in order. You just need to be
I didn't have a P&L for the first year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You're an accountant. How do you not have a profit and loss statement?
I forgot that.
Oh my God. So, okay. Well, you're one of like my first guests, and sorry if I've forgotten about someone else, that is in more B2B sales?
I'd say it's
digital.
B2B.
Yeah. So like, give me your sales tips.
Well, we have a very good sales process, but it is, well, I guess it's B2B specific. In fact, one of the best things we were at doing was selling, and it was the thing that came easiest to us at Cub. The harder part was learning how to service in order to retain everybody that we sell, which took many more years than it took us to learn how to sell. But with B2B sales, our most trusted system is outreach. It depends if you're selling something that's supposed to be exclusive or not exclusive. So we have a lot of debate as to, is outreach the right system for us because we are a premium brand? But we do it anyway because it works so well. And also, we're not exclusive. We're just premium. And after all, Cartier has marketing campaigns too. So, so I didn't like relying on inbound leads. So I didn't like relying on Facebook and LinkedIn ads and Google ads because Zuckerberg changed the formula and all of a sudden your marketing company that does your Facebook ads doesn't know what's going on and you cut off with leads. So I wanted to be self-reliant on leads. And I really think your baseline of minimum sales should come from self-reliant sources. The best self-reliant source of lead generation we found was LinkedIn. LinkedIn has changed in that time period, probably because of companies like us that it's changed in how many people that let you add and be friends with and all this type of stuff. I've always found that if you search LinkedIn for the most appropriate people for your business, like the most ideal target clientele, and you can do search parameters that work, especially if you have that sales navigator, add them, because once you've added them, you're connected to them. You can message them as much as you want. There's no having to buy the paid messages thing, or something. I don't know what they're called, but once they've accepted you, you're free to message them. You don't have to pay for that. And then you send them a really short, casual and personalized message that isn't like trying to sell. It's just really trying to network. It's just saying, hey, for us, we say, love to host you for a coffee in the clubhouse. We say, love to host you for a coffee at our office, just to meet, trying to grow my network or whatever it may be. You know, you message X number of people, Y number of reply, and then you end up in a sales cycle. And I always found that did two things for us. One is it systemized like the minimum number of sales we're able to get. But two, we were just networking. It was just a really good way to build relationships with people. It wasn't a sale. We weren't sitting there trying to sell. We were just introducing what Cub is. And many of them were like, oh, that sounds awesome. Like,
yeah. Because I guess it's like, come and see what the value is. If you can get value out of it, then you'll be able to also add value to the other members by being here.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you don't, then you don't need, like, it's not long term.
Exactly. And Cup did have the cool factor. That's the only thing. So I'm trying to like make it relevant across. But like, if you're an IT services business, it's harder to get the cool factor. Come check out my printers. But Cub was like, they would look, I wouldn't even talk about Cub, but they would probably look on the profile and they'd say, oh, it's a members club for accomplished entrepreneurs. And like, if you're an entrepreneur,
people can get a membership at Cub and then invite people to Cub for their meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, can they?
Yeah, they can.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey Polly fam, I've got something special for you. For a limited time only, I have a discount code for my business course. In case you didn't know, the course is a blueprint for starting an online business and growing it to 7 or 8 figures. It's 10 modules of videos that you can watch at your own pace, covering everything from sourcing product, growing and developing your product range, operations, and marketing and scaling your business. Just use the code podcast at checkout at thelazyceo.com. So you talked about retention, like, because I guess it's kind of like, you know, the streamers, right? Like they want you in and then they want you to keep watching. Like you've got metrics, like you want people to actually like, you don't want to just sign people up. You want people to actually come into the clubhouse because that keeps them engaged. You want them to come to the events because like I've been getting the event emails and there's so many cool events all the time.
Yeah.
We
host 8 events a day, Tuesday to Friday. So we have literally like, there's events happening. There would be at least 2 or 3 happening right now. Oh my God.
It feels like a conference or like a resort where there's like activities. Like it's so cool.
No, but our events are all small. But to the thing of retention, because retention is like essential for all businesses. Like you don't want someone to buy off Shopo once. You want them to buy once, love the experience, and come back and buy more. And normally the second time they're buying more as well.
Yeah. You want them to keep wearing it and get more compliments and then be like, oh my God.
Exactly.
And then tell people about it.
Yeah. And love the price for the quality and how quick it came in the box, like everything. It's the experience. And Cub has a very, like, we had to build a membership experience based on our data. It took years because it took years for people to be members for years, you know? So we had to look at like the life cycle of members over like a 5-year period and say, okay, which year was the year that had the lowest retention? So which year was the worst year, basically? So after that year, people are leaving. Speak to those people, find out why they're leaving or what happened or what they wanted, and build a systemized, like it's super important to have it as a system for your team, because if it's not a system, it's not going to happen for everyone. So it needs to be something that's like happens for everybody. Build it, we call it a membership life cycle, like a system. Mm-hmm. And we have one per year. So it adapts to the year. So our first year members are the most likely to not renew. So they have the highest non-renewal rate of all the years. If you cross into the second year, like you're staying.
Yeah,
It's very rare. Like there's small chances, but you're pretty much staying for a long time. So the first year, like we found, was the lowest year. And so we looked a lot into why that was the case. And so we ended up building like a first year experience, which almost instantly increased the retention of the first year to be very similar to that of others. We also noticed that who was buying impacted the retention. So smaller businesses were less likely to renew after the first year. And we found out why by speaking to them. So it's really about creating a systemized experience for every customer. So for example, before Cub had service, like when you were like really at the start, it was basically just come, and when you come in, you'll meet people and it will probably be great, but no one's getting the same service. Like it's just kind of depends on how much you come in.
Yeah.
And so what would happen is like 20% of people would come in all the time and they'd get all the value.
Yeah.
And the other 80% would literally just never get any value because they weren't coming in. And so what happens is you have a really bad retention rate. So we had to figure out, okay, how do we make sure 100% of the members have at least the same minimum experience? And we need to know that minimum experience makes them stay, is good enough for them to stay. If we can give more than that, and if they get more engaged, that's fantastic because they'll be huge advocates, but we need them to stay. And so you got to think for your business, like what's the minimum experience I want to provide every client? What's the baseline? And design that into a system that your team or your technology can, you know, execute for them.
What shifted the needle? How did you find out what the minimum was and what did you do?
It was actually pretty easy. For us, it was engagement. So like how engaged is a member? How many times did they not? So we don't count that using the club as an engagement because we're a networking business. So using the clubhouse for a meeting is not networking. So we don't count that. But like how many networking experiences do you attend is what we count as an engagement. So we basically worked out if they attend a minimum of, call them events, of 8 events per year, their likelihood of staying is above 75%. If they attend 11 events per year, their likelihood of staying is like 90%. So
I love that. So, I love that shit.
And then we literally created a system around, and then it's hard to do because then you're like, okay, shit, how do we get them to come? How do we plan it in advance so that they're there? How do we even host that many events?
Yeah.
How do we make sure that event is good for that person based on the other people? Like if Jane's coming to an event, well, we know Jane wants to meet people like this and in this industry and she gets along with people like this. So it's actually hard to do, but that's what we do. So I'll just make sure you attend X number of, let's just say 11 events. And that's our goal. Once you've done that, we can, you know, check you off. You're staying. If you don't stay, it's for reasons outside of our control, basically. And that's all we did. So you got to find that key metric and then just hammer it home.
What tips do you have for people who like come to these things in general and network?
In terms of networking in general. So I would try to avoid the big rooms. That would be tip number one. Like go to something smaller or very niched, like the like-minded events are great because you know the type of people you're meeting. They're just like me. Yeah. Being part of a group helps you have a culture. But in terms of successful networking, you're not going to like everyone. That's the first thing. I tell people at Cub, you're not going to like everyone you meet at Cub. You're going to meet thousands of people potentially if you're there long enough. So you're not going to like all of them. You've got to be respectful to all of them and fit within the culture of the club, but you're not going to like all of them. The goal is that every engagement you attend, or every year, let's just make it easier, every year, that you've grown your personal like friendship circle of business owners by 5 to 9 people. People that you really, really like, admire, and now trust. And there you've got real relationships with those people. And the worst thing anyone can do is be short-sighted or selfish. You know, when people are there and you know they're really only talking to you because they want to get something from you, like that never works. And you know, those people never stay at Cub either. And they don't stay because it doesn't work for them. Like no one wants to hang out with that person because I know you're selfish and I know we're not really friends. You're just trying to like weasel me into something.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing you can do. Like being really authentic, connecting with the person on a personal level.
Yeah, and not transactionally.
Yeah, it's not a transaction. Relationships aren't transactions. Like you got to build a real relationship. Networking is not just to generate business immediately. There's so many different things that can happen from a relationship ongoing. Like I met Taryn Williams. She's just a recent example for me from Cub. I met Taryn at Cub at the start, and we're about to do a big influencer marketing campaign for Boa app, which is our...
Yeah, like, I was going to talk about Boa.
It's kind of like LinkedIn, but for business owners. But I don't know anything about digital marketing and influencer marketing. But I've known Taryn for like 9 years, so I've got a level of trust with her. I called her. I was like, hey, can you give me like a bunch of advice on how to do it? And she came and she literally showed me everything. She was so generous with her time. And she's generous with her time because we've got a relationship that's been there for a long time.
Yeah, love
and,
her.
Yeah, and that's the value. That's what you should be doing. So short-sighted people that are short-sighted, whether it be with relationships or with networking, they're just never successful. I've literally never met a successful one. The ones I meet, the successful ones are authentic. They actually just want to build relationships with people in a similar position to them and on the same path. And they're willing to help. They're not there to just take. They're happy to help someone. And if you're that person, trust me, you will win. And even if you're a tiny business, it's your first day in business, and you're that person and you meet this super, they meet you, you will see that. You will see, wow, this is a really beautiful person and I want to help that person.
Yeah, like, I think you're so right. I feel like I'm not to toot my own horn as being good at networking. Like I've never really needed anyone for anything, like ever, because it's a D2C business where I just sit behind my computer and do everything on social media. So when I go to like industry or like entrepreneurial networking events, it's just to meet people because I don't need people's business or anything like that. And so like, and that's why it comes so easily, because I feel like I would be really bad at sales also, because if I had an agenda, I'd be really transparent. I'd be like,
Remember we had lunch once in Woolloomooloo and you said to me, you're like, I've gotten to the point now where I want to meet other people in like, you know, this stage of business that Shopo is now at, because like there's so few.
Yeah.
And like that relatability is just so important. Like I don't need to grow my network with someone for a reason. Like it might just be because we're similar. Like we have a common love and it's easy to then talk to you about that. And new relationships are just so rare and they're so important. And that's what Cub and now Boa is all about. It's about facilitating new relationships.
Boa, were you like, I need another three-letter animal?
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you? Yeah, I knew it. No. And then the rest will just fill in the gaps.
I wanted it to be like Cub. So I wanted it to be similar. Boa's business owner's app. And because Cub's the premium brand, it's the premium service for like accomplished entrepreneurs. But our love for business owners spans all. Like I want every entrepreneur. I want to help every entrepreneur, have an impact on every entrepreneur. And so we wanted to create something that was accessible to all entrepreneurs, regardless of your location or your stage in business. And that's how we created Boa. We found a real need for a platform exclusively for entrepreneurs and business owners, a place for them to connect with other local entrepreneurs in their area, a place for them to speak about the things that matter to them with a community of people who get them, and a feed and basically a social media platform that had more relevant content for them. And like, I love the other platforms. Like I love LinkedIn. It's great for my business. And our business does great from it. And I love Twitter and I love Instagram. But Boa is for me. It's for me as the owner. You know, it's not for my business. And that's the difference. And I've been loving it for that. So like if you're in business, if you just started wherever you are and you want to connect with other business owners, Boa is a great way to start that.
Do you find that it's people at an early stage of business?
Yes. 98% of businesses are smaller businesses.
I guess the barrier is so small to just join. Yeah. You can just download and sign up. And so how is it shifting from having this, being the owner of like a very like physical presence business to a tech one?
Well, it's hard because, it's been really hard. To be honest, I love doing it because it's the same thing. I'm just connecting business owners. Yeah. But I've been struggling with the technology aspect of things because it's so slow. Like you got to build and then test and then
and
like,
you're like, why can't you just do this and that? But it's not
I'm
easy.
I'm just freaking out. Yeah. Like just it can't be that hard. Every other like, you know, app and website has, and they're like, yeah, but they've got billions of dollars there.
Yeah.
I was like, just do it. Like, so it's been hard for me to do that. But it has been a great learning experience. It has been hard as well because, you know, Cubby's a premium brand And Boa is essentially a social media exclusively for business owners. So it's designed to be accessible. The goal is to build the world's largest network of business owners. And those are two very different brands. I haven't done it well, but I do need to, you know, when you're launching something new, it is still a Cub company. So it's actually Cub, but I didn't want to call it Cub because Cub's a premium brand and Boa's a social media, a digital platform. Cub's a premium in person, Boa's accessible social media, digital. And so that's why we changed the branding for it. But it is a delicate balance of how to do that. I am finding it hard to do technology, but I'm very excited about it. Like,
I love the honesty.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be like literally the global LinkedIn for business owners. Mm. And I think that like Facebook started, you know, social media. That was like, that's social media. That's your personal, it was your personal social media. Then LinkedIn was a branch from Facebook, which was like, okay, well, there's social media now. This is your professional social media. Yeah. LinkedIn's very much the employee network, like the majority of people on LinkedIn, the employees. But Boa's like the next branch down. This is the business owners network. This is where the business owners and entrepreneurs connect for their specific reasons. And well, I can see there's such a need for it. And so I'm really excited to do that. I'm passionate about that this year and Brisbane and Perth are launching for Cub.
What's the plan for Cub? Are you going to keep it in Australia? Are you going to go global or is Boa the thing that will go be the global?
No, both, because they're both different. So our goal for Cub, our vision for Cub is to be the most prominent premium business networking platform on planet Earth. We want clubhouses in every major city of the world.
Awesome.
And that way, you know, you could fly to New York and you've got an established network as a member of Cub already in New York who are vetted, they understand the culture, and it's so easy for you to like kind of slide in and get going. So that's what we're doing for Cub. And the first step is covering Australia, which is going to happen over the next 2 years. So in the next 2 years, we have Brisbane, Clubhouse, Perth, Parramatta, and Gold Coast. And then after that, we've got Adelaide, Canberra, and New Zealand. So
I'm thinking like selfishly, I'm like, that's great. I've got all these places I can use.
It is convenient. Yeah. It is. And they'll all be very beautiful. Like I have Melbourne Clubhouse, which is new. So we moved Melbourne to a much bigger, more beautiful space. Boa's goal is different. It's to be the largest network of business owners on the planet, the largest business networking platform. Yeah. So we have a lot on. But I'm in a unique position because all I do all the time is speak to business people. And so you learn so much, you know, from everybody. You learn what's good and what's not.
What's the best advice you've received?
They can copy what you do, but they can't copy what you're thinking. So like in other words, what you're about to do. That always helped me because everyone was like, oh, what's, you know, someone could start another Cub. And I got to the point where it was kind of like, yeah, they could, but like every year Cub is just so different to what it was the previous year. So if I just keep pushing forwards in the same direction, I don't really care what, like, if anyone's, what if they watch us and they copy us, like, because we aren't copying us. We're pushing in the future and they can't see what we're about to do. And therefore, I do not give a shit what they take from us.
If they're copying you, they're copying the past.
Yeah.
Because you're not even doing that.
Exactly. That's the best way to put it.
Love that.
I love that too. That's the best way to put it.
Quotable moment. Yeah. I love quotable moments.
And that happens. Like a lot of the business groups copy like
most things
we do. But it's
also kind of good because they're like also convincing people to sign up for something. And then if you have a better service, they've done the hard yards of educating them to do it. And then you just convert them over, which is an easier job to convert from one thing to another than to sign up for a premium platform in the first place, potentially.
And also I just like business communities. I don't care if they're not Cub. Like as long as business people can connect with each other, that's a good thing. And that's our goal. That's our mission. Like I want Cub to be the best version of that because, you know, I want to be the best. But outside of that, I hope more business communities start because business people need it.
You've just been married recently. Congratulations. You're all grown up.
Oh, no, it's
all
crazy.
Grown up.
It's crazy.
So what does like home life look like for you?
Nothing's really changed, to be honest. After the wedding, it was like the wedding was this big build up and you're like, oh, my God.
I guess one day soon, maybe it'll be different.
I reckon I'm finally ready for
nappies.
Well, I'm not ready for that, but I'm ready for kids. But I'm definitely ready to have a kid. So I'm sure that will come up. I'm already planning for it. The only thing that I would hold above working is family. I think it's important that my wife also, she knows who I am and what I want to do. And she understands kind of like how much of myself I want to give my goals in life. And she's so supportive of that. And actually, I don't know if it's politically correct anymore at the moment, but I met her from CUP. So she used to work at CUP.
Oh.
And we got together and then I married her.
Like romance novice.
Yeah, it was a great, great hire.
Yeah.
But no, she's my best friend. The reason I knew that this was the person that I wanted to marry was because she made me a stronger person. Like I felt stronger at business. I felt stronger at life. I felt stronger at everything. And Alice, yeah, I felt like she made me a bit more complete.
Daniel, do you have your two truth, one lie?
Yes. Okay. First statement is Cub was actually named after the Lion King, like a lion cub.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that at the start of Cub, we didn't have money for entertainment. So I once belly danced in front of the community as a form of entertainment. And Mel B, the Spice Girl, was in attendance watching. And the third one is that Richard Branson sent us a letter wanting to see, basically wanting to buy Cub and create the Cub Virgins.
Okay. All right.
Not like that, but like he wanted the Virgin brand to
Virgin
be,
brand.
Which is
okay.
Why it was funny.
Oh my God. Okay. So I know Cub was like, you got it from the Lion King because I know you fill in the acronym later, which is why I thought of that about Boa. God, I feel like my memory is so bad. Do I know about this Mel B belly dancing? I feel like that could be true. Okay, so the Richard Branson thing is a lie.
Damn, but that's not fair because you know me well. Yeah. They're hard though. I thought no one's gonna be like the belly dance thing can't be true.
But yeah, we'll find the visuals.
Were you there when I did?
No. I've definitely heard that
footage anyway. Yeah. Wasn't real belly dancing.
Oh my God. This has been such a pleasure. We need to go have lunch so we can keep talking.
100%.
We'd love to get your advice for entrepreneurs who are listening, people who want to follow a similar path to yours.
Well, the first thing is like what I said, it's just start. And starting means telling the world what you're doing. And you don't have to be ready to do that. You just do it. And once you've started, you're started. It's literally, I'm in the game now and now I need to play. Like, and that's where everyone stumbles. So my first thing would be to just start. And my second thing would be, you know, there is always a way. It doesn't matter what you want to do or what problem comes. There is always a way around it. And you need to just have belief in yourself. You have to have confidence in yourself to know that you can find that way. And often you won't think of it. You might read about it or ask someone else, but the answer's there and you will find it. And then really, I should also say the thing that I've been most blessed with in my career is being surrounded by incredible people and having relationships that support me, like you, like Mark, like so many members that have become some of my best friends because we have business in common and we've known each other for so long now. That was the most important thing. That helped me get to the position I'm in more than anything else is having, you know, those relationships to catch me when I fall, to prop me up, help me grow, to give me advice, to like everything like that. That is what gets you through because not many other people know how hard it is to grow a successful business. And having others on the same path to like help you navigate the jungle, like, it's just so priceless. Like it's so important.
Absolutely. I love that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you guys for having me too.
Okay, that's it from me for now. Thanks for listening. And if you're loving the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review. And if you want more, join the conversation on the podcast Instagram at thelazyceo_podcast. Link to the show notes. Catch you next Tuesday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.